ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Remember what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God? Be in His Word, and then be obedient to it. And think about the covenants that God has made with man. The covenants that God made with man had an outward symbol that represented it. It showed that the covenant was in effect. Remember, what was the sign of the covenant that God made with Noah? You remember? The rainbow in the sky, right? I'll never destroy the earth again by floodwaters. Wipe the earth completely out by floodwaters. We see it in Genesis 9. If you want to turn there, you could read verses 11 through 17. Thus I establish my covenant with you, speaking to Noah. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. That's the covenant that God made with Noah. There's also one that God made with Moses, and that covenant was the Sabbath day. That sign was a Sabbath day. In Exodus 31, verses 16 and 17, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Also we have, like I spoke of, the covenant that God made with Abraham. And the sign of that covenant, as I said, was circumcision. And we read of that in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 14. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So God gave to Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan. And this covenant of circumcision was to show them that this is what they were to do. Philip Keller says the rite of circumcision represented the unique recognition on man's part that he was no longer a free will agent to do as he pleased, but rather a covenant person under direction by divine authority. Absolutely. So this is the call of God. We see the first thing that God tells Joshua to do after entering the promised land was to circumcise the men of Israel. Again, the second time, he says. And again, the reason being is because they didn't do that in the wilderness. Now, according to the call of God, they're going to be obedient to what God has told them as they enter the spirit-filled life in the land of Canaan. Second time, in a sense, that they're circumcised. So the first point, the call of God. Now the next point is a look back. Look at verse 4 of Joshua chapter 5. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who had come out, who came out had been circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. So looking back, we see that during their years of bondage in Egypt, they didn't circumcise their children. They didn't keep that covenant. As they were preparing to leave Egypt, yes, God said circumcise them before they partook of the first Passover, and then they left Egypt. But again, then there was unbelief as they left. God promised them the land of Canaan, but they looked at the land. They're like, man, there's a lot of people in the land of Canaan. They have fortified cities. How are we going to defeat them? There's giants in the land. We can't win. God didn't say, look at these people, look at their walls, look at these giants. He said, go and take the land. But because of unbelief, they didn't go in. And God said, look, from this generation, from 20 years old and up, they're going to die in the wilderness. And when that entire generation died off after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God was ready to bring this new generation into the land of Canaan. But here's the problem. Their children, during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, weren't circumcised. Again, I look at the spiritual condition of the nation. It wasn't good. They had forsaken God by not keeping his covenant that he made with them. It was disobedience to God's word. For 40 years, they forsook God. But God didn't forsake them. In Genesis 17:7, this is what we're told. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. This covenant that God made with them was an everlasting covenant. God was going to honor that. Yet for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they didn't do it. Why? Those wandering years represented the carnal life, a life lived after the flesh. Yes, those who left Egypt were uncircumcised in the flesh, but the bigger picture shows us that they were uncircumcised in the heart and body, and they didn't circumcise their children. All those years in Egypt, they didn't circumcise them. Yeah, before they partook of Passover, they had to be circumcised. They left Egypt, now 40 years in the wilderness. So looking back, we look, wow, they were living the carnal life as they refused to be circumcised or circumcised their children, and they paid for it. For us as Christians, it's good to take a look back and see what lessons we can glean from our own lives. And as we read the Bible, the lessons that God has for us in regard to failure and success of these men and women in the Scriptures. God wants us to look back. What we've done today is we live in the past. We can't get out of the past. Well, you know me. I've always had problems. I always will have problems. That's just me. I read the Scriptures. I don't see that. If you find it in the Scriptures, you show me. Because I'll show you a verse that I already quoted, that we're a new creation in Christ, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Do we still have to deal with some of the things that happened in the past? Yeah, because there's consequences to them. If I rob the bank and I'm in jail, just because I'm a new creation in Christ doesn't mean that the judge is going to go, oh, you're a Christian? You get out of jail free. No, there's consequences to my actions, but I no longer live that old life. I live the new life in Christ. And we need to remember that. Well, the next one is a look at the present. And again, we'll just read verses 5 and 6 here of Joshua 5, where it says, for all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, to all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So as we look at the present situation, they're still not circumcised, right? All those who were wandering in the wilderness those 40 years and made it through those wilderness wanderings. I don't need to spend a lot of time looking at their present situation. We see it's disobedience. They weren't following the Lord. And so we'll move from their disobedience, we'll look at their present situation, to their obedience, and look at verse 7. So Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. You know, if you want to live that victorious Christian life, you have to be obedient. You must be obedient to the Lord. You know, think about it. If we refuse to obey what the Lord is telling us, what we're saying is we know better than Him. I know we don't think about it like that. But God says, I want you to do this. You go, I don't think so. I did that with my parents, and there were consequences to it. But you know, as an adult, you look back at some of the things your parents told you not to do and some of the things your parents told you to do, and you go, wow, they were pretty smart. Were they right every single time? No, because they're human parents. My parents weren't perfect, but I was so blessed by them. And I tell my mom, man, my dad passed away many years ago, but I tell my mom, Mom, I give you and Dad credit because you raised four boys. And wow, we were, you know, we didn't have computer games. We didn't have any of that stuff. We were always outside doing things. And I don't know why my dad allowed me. We played hockey a lot in our yard and our driveway. I used the garage as the backdrop. So my slap shots and stuff, my poor garage, my poor dad. But the things he taught me and my mom taught me were valuable. And that's something I think as you get older, you tend to look back and go, wow, I was so blessed as a kid. When I was a kid, I didn't really think that way. Like they were ruining all my fun. Come on, loosen up. And I look back and go, man, thank you for doing that, that you cared that much for me. And here's the thing. Do you think God cares about us? Oh, more so than our parents? Do you think He's right when He tells us to do things or not to do things? 100%. God never says, oh, just kidding, wanted to see if you do it. No, just kidding, not going to do it. God doesn't say, well, I guess I was wrong on that one. I should have listened to you. I don't even listen to my GPS. I get myself into trouble. I think my GPS is wrong. And I end up finding out that, you know, my GPS is right. And I was wrong. And that's God. You know, sometimes we challenge Him. I don't think so, God. And we find out, yeah, He was right. I need to listen to Him. You see, when we don't listen to Him, it's a dangerous place to be. Because as we're rebelling against Him, God is allowing things to go on in our lives. And a lot of times then we develop this hate, this unforgiveness, these lust, bitterness, anger. Why? Because we're living a life of the flesh. We're feeding the flesh because we're not obeying the Lord. And what's manifested in our lives are just the things of the flesh. You feed that beast and that beast will grow. You starve that beast and the beast is going to die. But we tend to feed the flesh and starve the spirit. And what do you think is going to be manifested in our lives? You see, the only way we can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh is by surrendering our life to the Lord each and every day. And what we see here with this obedience to God is renewing his covenant with this new generation who are going to walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh, renouncing the old life, recommitting themselves back to God. And the act of circumcision showed their obedience to the Lord. But that outward act represented an inward spiritual truth. Think about it. You know, Samson, his long hair, that's what gave him the power. That long hair gave him the power? Are you kidding me? Long hair was a symbol that he was supposed to be walking with God. Samson had a lot of issues. But it's interesting because the Bible says that the Lord had departed from Samson and he didn't know it because he had walked so far away from God. He wasn't in tune with God anymore. And when he finally got the hair cut, was fooled by Delilah, got his hair cut, he lost his power, the Philistines came in, took him captive, and they put him at a grinding mill, walking round and round, rolling the stone all day long. And it says something interesting. It says that his hair grew back. And you think, well, that's he's getting his power back. No, he's getting his relationship with God back. The longer hair is a symbol of that relationship with God. If he didn't get back right with God, that long hair meant nothing because he went back to God. In fact, Jeremiah 4:4 tells us, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, so you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Jeremiah is speaking to the southern kingdom of Judah who were getting ready to be invaded by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah's like, get right with God. Not the outward circumcision, but the one of your heart. Get right with God. Surrender to him. Be obedient to what he's telling you. Moses, again, Deuteronomy 10:16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You see, it's a picture of cutting away the flesh life, the old life, the self-centered life that was in willful disobedience towards God. And what we see here is a picture of consecration to God, their commitment to him. What about us? Well, the principle is with water baptism, I believe. Just as circumcision was a principle for God's people to follow in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, water baptism should be done in obedience to the Lord. Water baptism doesn't save you, but the Lord said we should be baptized. In Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul put it like this. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism is a visual picture of what God has done in your life, that you have given your life to him. It identifies us with Christ's death as we go under the waters, his burial as we remain under the water, and then when we come up out of the water, his resurrection, that new life that we have in Christ. Turn over to 1 John for a second, chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If you get to Revelation, go to the left, a couple, Book of Jude, 3 John, 2 John. Go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 3, where John says this. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, the evidence for your faith is seen in your obedience to the Lord. On the other end of the spectrum, a life that is lived after the flesh and is seen in your disobedience to the Lord. That should just make sense. Circumcision is meaningless unless we see the outward changes, and that is true with baptism. You know, if there's no change in your life, have you really given your life to the Lord? There should be. Not that we're perfect. None of us are. We're all going to sin. We're all going to stumble. But is there a change in your life? Can people see the change in you? And the only way that's going to happen is walking that Spirit-filled life. Obedience is so important. The last point I want to focus on this morning, and we touched on it a little already, is death to the old life, to cut it out. So turn back to Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, or rolling, to this day." Think about it. All that the children of Israel had been through, God brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army that was coming after them, provided food and water for them in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out, but their unbelief brought a reproach upon them and upon God. And in the end, it was that generation that refused to walk by faith that died in the wilderness. What we see here is God rolling that away from their lives. That's what Gilgal means, the place of rolling. Was this accomplished? By their radical trust in the Lord and their obedience to Him. That's how it was accomplished. Told them to be circumcised, and they were. This was important because when God gives them instructions on how to defeat Jericho, wow, you really have to trust the Lord when the Lord tells you, walk around the city once for 7 days. Seventh day, walk seven times, blow the trumpets, the walls will fall down. Joshua, you need to get out of the sun, man. You need to see someone. That is the worst battle plan I've ever heard, right? I mean, come on, that's how we're going to win? You have to trust the Lord. And it's not always easy. And again, I've shared with you before with the whole radio station thing, you know, how the city didn't want us to have the big tower here because they didn't think it was legal. And, you know, for almost 9-10 years, we didn't have the big tower we had. You could go 15 feet above the tallest part of your building. So we were about 28 feet up on the garage with our radio tower. And you could still see the little one up there. So finally, you know, we talked with the city again, and they said, well, you know, what you could do is build a steeple. And then you can go 15 feet above the steeple to put your radio tower. So we were going to put up a 45-foot steeple, and then 15 feet above that we could put the radio tower on. So we called the contractor in, and, you know, he wasn't happy about the steeple. You know, it's a big project. It's not just putting a big steeple on the top of a building. He actually had to go through the roof of the garage and stabilize it on the floor of the building, because 45 feet is pretty tall, I guess, for a steeple. So he went to the city, and he said, why can't they have a tower? And the inspector said, go ahead and build it. You just got to trust the Lord. You know, for years we just sat back, and all of a sudden the Lord was starting to stir us. We need to build a taller tower. And we took the step of faith, and we thought, well, a steeple will work. But the Lord had the tower in mind. But we had to take those steps of faith. And isn't that what God calls us to do? Sometimes it seems ridiculous. We've tried already. The city said, no, it makes no sense. We're going to do this other thing. And I said, no, go ahead, step out in faith in that, and I'm going to change things around a little bit. And he did. You have to trust in the Lord. And it's hard because God is working in us, sanctifying us. Turn over to Romans 6 for a minute. That old life and the new life we have in Christ don't get along. They fight against each other. And this is what Paul said in Romans 6, starting in verse 5. He said, For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's just read a couple more verses here. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.